This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Welcome one and all to No Bad Ideas, the show where we bring in the worst things from the internet and try to scare our co-hosts into incoherence, even while also demanding that they pull together the pitch for a good story based on the materials.
It's a lot of critical thinking skills when you come down to it, making
it
bad
really
ideas
is.
Into good stories.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Zach, Sarah, are you guys excited to be horrified?
I'm so ready.
Particularly.
Well, let us waste no time. Why don't we dive into our very first idea, which you guys will have only 10 short minutes to transform into a good story. It comes from our old friends at the Huffington Post.
Love the Huffington Post.
And dear listeners, if you would like to read along with this article, there's going to be a link in the episode description. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Huff po us.
Alrighty.
No, now I'm not ready.
The headline reads, Oregon thief berated mom who left 4-year-old boy in car he stole.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot.
Wow.
The actual article begins. A car thief who found a toddler in the backseat of a stolen vehicle drove back and chastised the mother for leaving the child unattended before taking off again, police in Oregon said. The woman went into a grocery store about 15 feet from the car Saturday, leaving her 4-year-old child inside with the engine running and the vehicle unlocked, said Beaverton Police Officer Matt Henderson. A store employee told authorities that the woman was in the market for a few minutes before someone began driving away with the SUV.
Wow.
Once the thief realized the toddler was in the back seat, he drove back, berated the woman for leaving her child unattended, told the woman to take the child, and drove away in the stolen vehicle.
Unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Quote,
he should get to keep the car.
I know, right?
I strongly agree with this statement.
Quote, he actually lectured the mother for leaving the child in the car and threatened to call the police on her, Henderson said.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
That's beautiful.
Henderson said the woman did nothing wrong and was within sight and sound of the child. He said the incident just served as, quote, a good reminder to take extra precautions, quote, with children. Quote, obviously, we're thankful he brought the little one back and had the decency to do that, Henderson said. The vehicle was found a few hours later in Portland, but police are still searching for the thief. The suspect was said to be in his 20s or 30s with dark brown or black braided hair and a multicolored face mask. Police said anyone with information on the theft should contact the department, etc., etc. The rest of it, not important. We're only here for the man who stole the car, found the
myth,
child,
the legend,
and then drove back. So,
wow.
10 minutes on the clock. Where would you guys like to take the story?
Buddy road trip to the Grand Canyon. That's where I want to take it.
So first, I need some clarification. The owner of the car was in a supermarket.
So she drove to a grocery store, and I imagine it's probably sort of like one of those like smaller 7-Eleven type situations.
Okay.
And like pulled up.
You park right out front.
Parked right out front. Left the car running. She was probably just like running in to get like
a soda or
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this other guy came, grabbed the car, took off. came back, right,
and
dropped the kid, berated.
Junior was on board.
Yep.
Right. My question is, he gets back. Was he like sitting outside? Like, does he know what this person looks like?
No, although I would imagine there's probably like a very distraught woman out front. That would make it obvious.
Right. In my mind, he gets back. She hasn't realized it's gone. He storms into the grocery and is like,
what is wrong with you?
Who is leaving their child in a totally stealable car?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Right. Like, at first, the lady in your mind's act, like, at first, she like only thinks that this is someone that like is passing by, saw the kid and like is berating her. And only afterwards realizes that this guy stole her car.
Right. Exactly. She has no idea. I mean, maybe he lets it spill like really easily because he's just so beside himself.
Yeah. No, but it seems like what actually happened was he brought the car back out front.
I where see, she, and she was waiting. Because yeah,
and then
like, oh my
instructed
God.
Her to take the kid out of the car while he yeah, was still yeah, in the yeah. car. And then he peeled off, drove away.
My favorite got it, got detail
it. Makes more sense.
Yeah, my favorite detail in the whole thing is the thief threatening to call the police.
It's phenomenal.
That I think is art. I think that's yeah. amazing.
Just that's a sublime genius. Lack of self-awareness. That is.
I should call the cops on you.
Beautiful. That beat should absolutely be in whatever story we make because it's just perfect.
I know.
Now you'd have to do a gender swap on one of the characters to make the prison movie where they end up falling in love. Where they both go to jail and then they realize that, you know, they're perfect for each other.
I don't want to do that to this 4-year-old. Like, I really, really don't. But yeah, I do think you're on the right track, Zach, that it is a relationship movie of some sort, whether it is like accidental road trip where this thief who needs to get across the country in 3 days realizes that he has a 4-year-old in the back of his stolen vehicle, mm-hmm. whether it is like this is the weirdest meet cute of all time, or whether it is something else.
And something that I find interesting is that it seems that like the guy ditched the car in Portland.
Yes.
Which maybe implies that more than like a stolen car, what he needed was like a way to get to Portland very quickly. Like there was maybe kind of an element of speed in the.
Right.
I mean, he was also maybe smart enough to realize that like he had maybe 2 hours to get somewhere with this vehicle before, you know, the Portland police had it and he didn't want to be caught in it.
Sure.
But I like that angle of just like. You know, and I think we'll dress this up for more noble reasons. This guy needs to get to Portland in 2 hours so that he can like sit for his interview at Reed College or whatever. I don't think Reed is actually in Portland, but whatever.
No, it's a little further north, yeah. I think.
But like, you know, join the Portland Symphony Orchestra. He has an audition, but he's stuck in Beaverton and doesn't have like the train fare to get up there. That sort of thing.
Which then I think is like a funny character note that he's in such a rush to do that, but he still finds time to kind of come back and be like, no, hang on a second. I'm not in that much of a rush. I still need to berate you about leaving the kid. I always have time to like tell you off for leaving your kid in a car.
Well, I think you may correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, but it sounded like maybe we nix the coming back and just go with the road trip.
I'm okay with the coming back because the coming back is very funny. And then it's a chase movie where he is trying to get to Portland on a deadline. The cops are looking for the stolen car. And maybe the woman is so incensed that someone questioned her parenting ability that she's also chasing after him in a different car. And she is clearly the most dangerous person who is chasing this guy.
Oh, she's like Popeye Doyle, just like a menace behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't know that before she settled down and got married, she used to make her money drag racing on the quarter miles. I don't know.
Amazing.
Now we shouldn't do this.
Love it when a sentence starts that way.
But do y'all remember that supposed adopted child that turned out to be like a 31-year-old scam artist?
No.
Did we not do that idea on this show?
If we did, then like my brain was just like, I need to bleach this memory. I need to just, you know, like get rid of it. But well, catch us up, Zach. Hang on.
Long story short, there was like somebody adopted who turned out to, you know, like was found like in the parents' bedroom with a knife, like was just like, you know, the parents like had to give them back to the adoption agency and were basically like questioning this person's youth. And it turned out that they like were very likely like in their 30s with some sort of aging condition where they look a lot younger and that they'd been through like a number of homes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it's a whole fucking thing. So there's the world where like pulls away and like, oh, my God, there's a 4-year-old here. Like, no, I'm not four. I've been casing this bitch for 4 years. I'm trying to get her Social Security money. So, yeah, it's just like, wait, what?
So like the 4-year-old is actually Stewie.
Can I add yes, like Stewie. One more twist onto that? Because I love that. I think that's amazing. But I want to add the twist of the woman and her accomplice, who looks like a 4-year-old, were about to rob that store for some reason. And so she goes in, she gets into position, but before the other guy can get out of the car, this other dude comes in, steals the car, and is then like, fuck, there's a 4-year-old in the back seat. And the guy who's not 4-year-old just play. Is dressed like, it's just like, yes, I'm 4.
Baby shark.
Oh my God. Sure. and this guy like stuck pretending to be a 4-year-old.
Oh, I love that. In that case, he should be in the car longer just to drag out that comedy
100%.
moment. But I love that.
No, like in that version of it, the thief is in such a rush that he cannot go back. Like, is one
No. It's it could be that, and there could be a moment where it's like they go back, but the woman is getting arrested. For because there was no getaway, and so then the 4-year-old's like, go,
right. She didn't realize that like her accomplice was gone, so she started the heist. It was then like, you know, like
gotta improvise, like, baby.
Yeah, I love that. Oh my God, yeah, that's great.
Oh man. And so does our hero, who clearly is the only moral person in this universe, have to try and convince the getaway driver, who looks like a 4-year-old child, to like let him drive the car to Portland. Is it like a weird power struggle? Does he get caught up in a heist? Like what is the end game that emerges from all of this?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think that it's kind of like after that, it's a little bit like of a buddy crime movie. Like, you know, it's like these two mismatched criminals who each have, you know, like large debts or large things that they need solved, trying to figure out how to solve them together, even though they've just been thrown together and neither one of them likes the other person, something like that. Mm.
And they've got to make the like single dad, 4-year-old thing work. And it works for them in a way that none of their previous efforts at crime have done.
They get really good at that con.
Yeah. Then it's just mini road to perdition and you're home free.
Oh, Lord.
Nice.
What are we going to say, Zach?
So having not seen Perdition, I wonder if there's like some element of like a theme of parenthood in the thing, and maybe the original criminal's motivation to get to Portland quickly is because his father is passing away, and there's a warrant. There's so many warrants out for this thief's arrest, so he can't take plane, trains,
or automobiles
except for stolen ones. That puts him in this situation.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
So
I like
sort
that.
Of the drive to get there.
He's in prison. He's getting transported somewhere. Hears that his dad is dying, agonizing in a hospital. And then breaks out to be able to get to see him.
I like this.
So then gets put in a situation where he has to play father.
Right.
To somebody who has to play child.
They both learn a valuable lesson and get arrested. Forever at the end.
Yeah.
And on that note, that is 10 minutes, everyone.
Perfect. Oh, we solved it.
I have a very quick correction, just so that the residents of Portland, Oregon don't tweet at us en masse. I did Google this in the middle of it, and I was wrong. Reed College is, in fact, in Portland, Oregon. It is 100% there. Apologies for misspeaking earlier. I don't know what I was thinking about, but Reed College, very much in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon.
Good to know. Good school. Hey y'all, it's Sarah, breaking into the show very briefly to let you know that after a brief hiatus, we are back on Patreon. We have some cool rewards over there. We have some stretch goals that would unlock very fun things. We are going to be doing more with our Patreon very soon, so now is a good time to get in on the ground floor. And if you like what we do here at No Bad Ideas, and if you want us to keep doing it, our Patreon is what helps make that happen. So head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support to check it out. Or keep listening to this episode. I'm not the boss of you. Everyone, with another bad idea to hopefully turn into a good story. And this one I have, and I want to be honest with you both. There is a small chance this is made up because I found it on the subreddit r/paranormal.
Okay.
But I don't want it to be made up, so I'm bringing it to you like it's real.
Very good.
Just bear that in mind. And dear listeners, if you want, it's just a text post. But if you would like to read along, it will be linked in the episode description. And it is a post on r/paranormal from someone named Poto Potato. That is their user handle.
Promising.
Yep.
Okay.
And the subject line, the header of this post is just a thing of beauty. Begins, "I want to kick this ghost's ass."
Excellent.
Yep. Strong start. "I don't give a hell if it died. How can I get it to fuck off? It's been 3 weeks since I moved here, and it keeps banging on the wall, and it has turned my power off multiple times while I was in the middle of a game. I know no one will think I'm serious, but I never dealt with ghosts until now, and I want them out of my house.
Is
there a way to fix this? The ghost obviously is an asshole on purpose. TLDR, this ghost is pissing me off and waking me up early. How can I get rid of it? Update. It's gotten louder. The loser is so loud. I can hear it through my headphones. I can't figure out where exactly it's coming from because when I try to listen to it in silence, the asshole pretends to not be around. It only bangs on the floor/walls when I'm doing something important. It started doing weird things, like banging on the wall at the exact moment when I try to take a crap or piss. I keep telling it to fuck off. And I have turned off all the lights in order to challenge it. Yet the coward never tries to face me. Only tries to annoy me. It's a matter of time. Yep. It's a matter of time before I destroy this bastard. One way or another. I'm not going to let some dead ass ruin my holidays." End of post.
Damn,
son. Oh my God.
Yep. He's angry.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So I give to you this standoff between man and ghost. I'm going to put 10 minutes on a timer. Tell me a story.
So first, I just want to pitch the am I the asshole post equivalent that's like, so I've been living in this house for 300 years. And this really self-involved mm-hmm. person just moved in. And I'm trying to coexist, but you know, they just really don't listen well or whatever, you know, just like the ghost side of the story where they're like, all I can talk in this corporeal form is through physically moving things. And so I'm just trying to say, welcome to the neighborhood. And now they're trying to kill me.
It would be really funny
to
do the like Gone Girl style. Like first you see things from like the living dude's point of view. And it's like, holy shit. Like this guy lives in a fucking creepy like haunted house with this like very annoying ghost. And then at a certain point you flip it around and you see things from the ghost point of view. And yeah, it's just either it's either trying to be friendly or trying to warn him about other dangers that he's not realizing is there. But there's sort of just this like very real disconnect.
I love that. Does it get and eventually they the perspectives do have to collide in some way, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And I think that there's kind of a couple. I think that the thing that needs to be settled for me in order to determine how that goes is how much is the ghost aware of the guy's perspective? You know, because if the ghost is only able to get like glimpses of the guy, and he can't really kind of hear him very well because of the astral divorce between him and the real world, then it's possible that the ghost does not realize that this guy hates his guts. And
which
that
would
can
be
go
funnier.
One way.
Right.
Yeah.
Either that or the ghost is just like blindingly naive and so warm-hearted and just does not realize that this guy hates his guts. That's another possibility.
Sure.
But
or the person who's expressing their rage is only doing so through the internet.
It's just like they're trying to be kind of civil and restrained, and they're actually a very quiet person. They don't talk a lot. They have their headphones in all the time.
Right.
I see.
And this Victorian era ghost just has no concept of what an iPad is.
No, they stare at this glowing box, and they've been doing that for like the past 70 years or so. But this one does it a lot.
Right. Okay, let's go with that. Like, and so the ghost does not kind of realize that his new roommate hates him.
Right. I think that the next thing to decide is whether the ghost is trying to just be friendly or whether there is an external threat that the ghost is trying to warn their new homeowner about.
Yeah. And I'm inclined to do more of the latter.
Yeah, I
because
think so
then too. That kind of gives us like a nice meaty conflict for them to sink their teeth into.
Right. Like every 800 years, the house is some sort of a focal point for this, you know, afterlife cosmic energy.
Right, or this curse or whatever. Exactly.
Right. That if you're you happen to be in the house at midnight on the 20th day of the 20th year or whatever, then you will be cursed. And maybe that's how this person, maybe that's how the ghost became a ghost.
It would be funny if it was like something, you know, kind of like a Final Destination type thing that is like death comes to this person, but it's through all of these kinds of like small things going wrong. And so it's just kind of a lot of, you know, like he gets pushed down by the ghost right as, you know, like a piece of the chandelier breaks and falls right where he was. Things like that, maybe. I don't know.
And the ghost keeps prolonging the, like, he's marked for death, and the ghost keeps prolonging his life by saving him from very incidental things.
Exactly, yeah.
I like that.
Of course, the guy thinks that it's all coming from the ghost. That the ghost, like, did the pushing and the knocking down of the chandelier.
He's just too clever for this ghost.
Right. Oh, that's funny. The guy is always just like, you're going to have to get up a little bit early in the morning to catch Raymond Q. Gilbert.
Love the name.
Yep, thank you. I don't know where that came from.
Yes, we Gilberts come from a long line of evading poltergeist. I don't know.
Yeah. Famously very lucky guys.
Oh, yeah.
In my family.
super lucky.
Very famous.
Right. Like, is this a family home that they've been in for a while and it's just because it's approaching the equinox of whatever this thing is?
That would be interesting.
That's happening versus like, I just moved in.
Usually they're, I just moved in, because that would explain like how, you know, weird something is. One would presumably be acclimated to a ghost if you've lived somewhere for a while. But if it's because this thing is approaching and like the ghost hasn't had to interact with Master Raymond ever and now has to, that's interesting. That's interesting too. And a kind of ghost story I don't think we've seen a bunch of.
Right. Like the sort of ghosts only become able to interact in our world as the stars align, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I quite like that. Right.
Yeah, I do too.
And so what happens though when the veil gets thinnest? Like, you know, does the avatar of death properly finally kind of like enter the house?
Yeah, I think sort of like in the spirit of Gravity Falls, sort of a Bill-esque character is sort of unleashed.
Right. And then, you know, and maybe at that same time, though, the ghost is also kind of made flesh and is finally
and
able to
interact.
Take
its full form.
Yeah. With the human being. And they finally understand each other. Right in time to fight this eldritch being from beyond.
Yes. And they are able to seal the being from beyond. But our human character has to stay on the supernatural side of the veil in order to do it. And so he ends up becoming a ghost himself.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
And is
does the original ghost end up becoming the human
resident?
Ooh,
it'd be cool if they swapped. I don't know if that happens, because I do like then the buddy comedy of these people are perfect roommates now that they understand each other. But
now that they're both
I think
that
they both end up as ghosts. And then in the last scene of the movie, it's like, you know, like, well, at least we finally like understand each other and everything is perfect now. They both sit on the couch, like on the ghost couch, and it's like, ah. And then sure enough, ding dong, door opens. The realtor is here to show in the new owner.
Yeah.
He's
just an even bigger asshole.
Yeah.
Right. Although I imagine our previously human protagonist is now very upset they can't go on Reddit.
There would need to be some equivalent. There would need to be some like ghost thing.
Okay. I just think they would be incredibly bored.
So it's like
maybe they learn to take up new hobbies. Ghost hobbies.
Right.
Whatever those are.
You know, it's pretty cool to walk through walls. You can do it all day.
Yeah.
Right. But when it's the same walls year after year after year.
Sure. So
I guess maybe it's worth kind of fleshing out sort of the midpoint.
Sure.
Well, you have about 45 seconds to do it.
Okay, great.
Oh, boy.
So
I guess this is maybe the point at which the ghost becomes flesh and the human realizes that they need to be.
I think that maybe perceptive. Be a little bit later.
Yeah, I think that's like sort of the second act turn.
I think the midpoint is probably when like the human realizes like, oh, fuck, no, like this is not like a childish prank. This is something trying to kill me. Like that's finally when the human kind of realizes like, oh, no, my life was in danger there. Like I almost died. And that I think a little bit changes his attitude towards the ghost. And maybe he even tries to get an exorcist. Maybe he tries to get like a professional.
Yeah.
To come in and Ghostbuster. Bust some ghosts.
He buys some Ghostbuster merch online.
Right. Gets, you know, gets the myrrh and like all these, I don't know what you use for an exorcism. The incense rather, not
sage.
The myrrh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's time.
Yeah.
I'm delighted by this. Well done,
called?
Both of you.
What's a good title for this?
Aside Not
from,
Dead
like,
Yet?
Roommates from Hell. Not Dead Yet is good. Not Dead Yet is good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We'll think on it. There's a great title out here for this.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere in this movie, they need to order a bucket, one of those like prepper
oh, God,
bucket
yeah.
of Bibles.
Oh, God.
No, you gotta like, be ready. You gotta stock up.
Can be like that Xander mo or not Xander, similar character, but in The Mummy, where John Hannah is holding up like all the different symbols of all the different religions, uh-huh. just going through one at a time.
Hedging your bets.
Whatever works.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.